I want to take as my text this morning the words of verse 14 of Genesis chapter 40, where we read, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee." These words, of course, were spoken by Joseph, the son of Jacob the patriarch. At this point in Joseph's life, he was in prison in Egypt for a crime that he had not committed. Also in that prison were Pharaoh's chief butler and baker. The butler and the baker had prophetical dreams, and Joseph was enabled by the Spirit of the Lord to interpret, to give the explanation, the meaning, and tell what the fulfillment of those dreams would be. The butler dreamed of a vine with three branches. He also dreamed that he took the grapes from that vine. He pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and he gave the cup and presented the cup and the wine unto Pharaoh. In the baker's dream, the baker saw a basket, or he had three baskets upon his head. One particular basket was full of food, probably bread from his bakery, as it were, that he thought that he was going to set before Pharaoh, but rather the birds came down and the birds devoured and ate what was in that basket. Neither the two of the men knew or understood what the dreams meant, and yet as they told them to Joseph, he gave the interpretation. In 3 days, and it was three literal days, in 3 days, the butler would be restored by Pharaoh to his position as chief butler. And once again, he would serve the king. In 3 days, however, the baker would be taken by Pharaoh and would be hung and would be put to death. It was to the butler that Joseph spoke those words, "Think on me when it shall be well with thee." Now do you notice, and I want you to pay particular attention to the word "think." You see, it's the Hebrew word zakar, and that word nowhere else is it translated to "think." The majority of times that it is translated in our authorized version of the scriptures, it is translated "remember." You will see that in verse 23. You have another example of it. There we read, "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph." And in the Hebrew Bible, it's the Hebrew word zakar. It's the same word that is translated "think" in verse 14. And I'm saying to you that in the majority of cases in our English Bible, that Hebrew word is not translated "think." It's translated "remember." Remember me when it shall be well with thee. Now, a number of Sabbath evenings ago, I reminded you that Joseph in his life is a wonderful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, there were things that happened in the life of Joseph that point us to the life and to the work and the happenings in the life of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph was rejected by his brethren. He came to them, and yet he was rejected by his brethren. He was sold into the hands of the Gentiles. He was cast into prison and humiliated, and in his time, or after his time of humiliation, he became not only a savior to the Gentiles, but a ruler over them. And it was when his brethren came to buy corn of him the second time that he was revealed unto them who he was. And in all of those instances, we see the picture and the type of the Lord Jesus Christ, rejected by the Jews, sold into the hands of the Gentiles, humiliated, put to death, rising again, becoming the Savior of the world. And it is and will be at his second appearing that his brethren, according to the flesh, shall look upon him whom they have pierced, and shall turn unto him. I put it to you in the portion of scripture that we have read this morning. We have a picture of Joseph, the type of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a butler with a cup of wine. We have a baker with his bread. And we have the command given to the butler, remember me. Is that not what the Lord Jesus, the great antitype, did on the night in which he was betrayed? In Luke chapter 22, verse 19, we read these words. He took bread and gave thanks and broke it, and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And there on the night in which the Savior was betrayed, he instituted the sacrament of the Lord's table with the bread and the cup. And he said to his disciples, and he gave that command for every successive generation of believers, this do in remembrance of me. From the incident that is before us this morning, there are three lessons from the communion feast that I want to draw from it and set before you. I want you to notice, firstly, there is a great command. Think on me, or really, those words were a personal plea. They were an entreaty or a command to be remembered. And the Lord has commanded his people to remember him and the work that he has provided and carried out for them. Now there is a general sense in which we are commanded to remember the Lord. And those commands are found throughout the scriptures. Let me just mention one of them to you this morning. And it's in an Old Testament setting. In Deuteronomy 24, verse 18, the Lord told the Israelites, thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. In other words, the Lord was saying to his Old Testament people, I want you to remember what you were. You were slaves to Pharaoh. You were bond servants in that condition, and yet I redeemed you by the power of the blood of the Paschal Lamb on the night of the Passover. The blood was shed, the blood was sprinkled upon the doorpost, and I saved you from the death angel by the power of the blood, brought you out of Egypt, you served me on the mountain, you received my commands in the wilderness, and I brought you to the liberty of Canaan. And I want you to remember that. And there's a sense, a general sense, in which every child of God is to remember the Lord and remember what the Lord has done for them. You're to remember that you were born in sin. You're to remember that you were shapen in iniquity. You're to remember that you were the servant of Satan and the child of iniquity. Yet when you were converted, the Lord delivered you by the blood of the Lamb. He brought you into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And you live now in freedom from the devil and the freedom from the bondage of sin and the guilt of sin, that you might serve him. And you're never to forget that. However, while there is a general sense in which we are to remember the Lord, there is this specific way in which the Lord has instructed his believing people to remember his death and the provision that he has made for our souls. And it's called the communion feast or the Lord's Supper. And I remind you again tonight, or rather this morning, I'm going to remind you of the night in which the Lord was betrayed. What happened in the upper room? The Lord simply took the bread. the disciples were gathered. And he gave thanks for the bread. And he explained to them what it was the symbol of. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and he gave them. And he said, take it. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Do you know what he didn't do? He didn't wave the bread before them. He didn't parade it around the room. He didn't tell them to bow down and to treat the bread as an idol. It was a simple ceremony. He took the bread. He gave thanks. He explained the symbolic nature of the feast. And he said, eat it in remembrance of me. And in like fashion, he took the cup. He didn't say that the cup was only for a certain element or for a certain type or class of those who were saved. No, he took the cup again and he gave thanks. And he gave it to them to drink. And he said, this do in remembrance of me. How simple that feast is. And the Lord hath told us that until his second coming, we are to take the bread and take the cup under the discipline of the Church of Christ and under the supervision of the Church of Christ and partake the elements that we might spiritually feed upon the spiritual benefits of his death. And I put it to you this morning, it's a command that comes to every believer. Do you see that in the story of Joseph here, it's brought out in a wonderful way. Look at those words in verse 14 again. But think on me. And he places a condition on this remembrance. Remember me when it shall be well with thee. Joseph told the butler to remember him when he was in a right relationship, that is, when the butler was in a right relationship with the king. And that, my friends, is a requirement for the Lord's table. That's why when the Reverend Elliot announced it, that's why in all our pulpits in the Free Church, when we announce the Lord's table, we remind the people, it's for those that are saved. It's for those who are in the right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's for those who have been born again, who have been delivered by the Savior's blood. It was the Apostle Paul who had to warn and solemnly rebuke the church at Corinth in that portion of Scripture that is associated with the Lord's table in 1 Corinthians 11:29-30. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. There were those in Corinth. Perhaps some were unsaved and they were sitting at the table of the Lord. And yet Paul reminds them that it's possible to eat and drink unworthily. What a different message that is to the one that's given in many pulpits today. There are those ministers and some will almost give the impression that you sit at the Lord's table to make you right with God. No, my friend, if you're not a Christian, you're better not coming to the Lord's table, for you eat and drink unworthily, not discerning the Lord's body. And it can bring judgment and chastisement upon you. There are those, perhaps, and they're not walking worthy. Maybe they're saved. And that was the case in Corinth. There was the man who professed faith. You read of him in chapter 5. And yet he was committing gross and immoral sin. And Paul had to say, because there was open sin in his life, he was not to eat and drink among them. And yet while we give the warning and we give the scriptural teaching on the Lord's table that this sacrament are for those who are in a right relationship with the King, let me go a little further and say, if you're in that right relationship with the Lord, if you are saved and you're seeking to walk in fellowship with Him, come to the table. I have spoken to those in the past very sincerely. Said, you know, we don't feel worthy enough. My faith is too weak. Let me take you back to the night in which the Savior was betrayed. And in the room there's Peter. And the Lord gives the elements to Peter and he says, this do in remembrance of me. Just a few moments, if not hours later, didn't Peter forsake him? Didn't the disciples forsake him? They were weak Christians. And yet the purpose of the Lord's table is not for perfect Christians, for there are none of us perfect. But the purpose of the Lord's table is for the strengthening and the edification and the building up of sincere believers who are born again of the Spirit and sincerely seeking to follow the Lord. And if you're in that right relationship with the King, then the command is given. Take the bread. Take the cup. And remember me. Can I just say another, make another little point in that command? Isn't it a reasonable command? I'm thinking of those words that the Lord were addressed to the Lord when he was on the cross in Luke chapter 23. The type in Joseph is so wonderful there in his Joseph's humiliation. There were two with him in his humiliation. One was saved and the other perished. And in the Lord's hour of humiliation, there were two with him. Guilty of crimes, one was saved and one perished. I'm referring to the thieves on the cross. And there in Luke 23, verse 42, the dying thief said to the Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He was asking the Lord to save him. He recognized that Jesus was the Messiah. He was going to come into his kingdom and he said, save me. But he used the word, remember me. Remember me in my sin. Remember me in my state of condemnation. And if it please thee, save me. That's in effect what he's saying. Can I say to you the hour that you were saved? I don't know the form of words you used. But in essence, you asked the Lord to remember you. Remember me, Lord, in my sin. Remember me descending down into the quagmire of sin. Remember me, for Lord, if you don't, I'll perish. And the Lord, in that moment, he remembered the sinner. And he saved him and he assured him, thou shalt be with me in paradise. And when you ask the Lord to save you and to remember you in your sin and deliver you, he remembered you and he saved you. Now if the Lord remembered you in your state of sin and he saved you by his grace, is it not too much? I put it to you. Is it not too much for him to say, you remember me? And here's the way you're to remember me. Take the bread, take the cup, and think on me when it is well with thee. There's a great command here. Can I show you secondly and very quickly, there is a great sin. Note verse 23 of Genesis 40. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph. This indeed was a great sin, for the butler himself acknowledged it as such in chapter 41 and verse 9. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. And he goes on to explain how Joseph had asked him to remember him when it was well with him, and yet he forgot all about Joseph. Leading on from what I have just said a moment ago in relation to the Lord remembering you and your sin and saving you, I think that's what makes this fault of the baker so great, or the butler so great. Joseph had been so good and gracious unto the butler. There the butler was in the prison cell without any hope, but Joseph came to him. Do you see that in verse 6 of chapter 40? And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them. You'll remember the story. Joseph had favor with the prison guard. And the prison guard placed Joseph in a position of authority over the other prisoners. They couldn't leave their cells. They couldn't leave their dungeons. But Joseph could come to them. And Joseph, in his responsibilities over the other prisoners, he came in unto them. He noticed them in their sadness and in their discouraged state. He asked them of their need, and he brought comfort and consolation to them when he interpreted his dream, and he assured them of the peace and acceptance that he would have with the king. And I put it to you this morning again, we're presented with a wonderful type and picture of the work of Christ in the gospel. For like the butler, you were in the prison house of sin, with no hope, no way of getting to Christ, no hope of rescue. And yet in your need, he came to you. I was reminiscing with some of the folk from the church during the week. We were discussing a hymn that we heard years ago. He came to me. He came to me. When I could not come to him, he came to me. And here's a picture of Joseph, the type of Christ. And the butler can't come to him. But Joseph came to the butler and he spoke peace to him. And he gave him the assurance that all would be well. Oh, how much Joseph did for this man. And yet this man forgot the Lord. Dear Christian, seeing how great things the Lord has done for you. He came to you in your state of weakness and sin. He saved your soul. He assured you that all would be well in eternity. That you could have that right relationship with the King of Glory. Seeing he hath done all this for you. What a fault it would be for the believer to neglect the command of the Lord, to remember him. I wonder, and I've often thought about the butler. I've often wondered why he forgot about Joseph. We're not told the reason why in this passage of Scripture. Sometimes preachers use what they call sanctified imagination. Sometimes we speak of first and second imaginations when people come up with things that, well, it's not biblical and they're just coming up with it themselves. But allow me for a moment to use my sanctified imagination. I've often thought of the reason. Why did the butler not remember Joseph? And I wonder, was he just too busy? Just too busy serving Pharaoh. Just too busy taken up with the general things in life. Busy in the king's court. Busy about all his tasks. Happy to be there and happy to do so. And he forgot about the one who had prophesied that it all would come to pass. Isn't that so true of us? We can become so engrossed in the everyday affairs of life, the workplace, our family, our hobbies, the troubles that distress us and the burdens that we bear, that we can become cold and indifferent at heart. We forget the Lord and then we begin to neglect the particular sacrament He has appointed to remember Him. Oh, may it not be so. It was David who said in Psalm 137, verse 5 and 6, "If I forget thee, O Jerusalem," now he's speaking about the cause in the city of God. He's speaking generally about the work of God. But he said, "If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy." And while he was speaking about the work and cause of God in general, let me apply it to the Lord's death and the Lord's Supper. Surely we could say, if we forget the Lord, if we forget to remember Him in His own appointed way, the psalmist said, "Let my right hand forget her cunning. Let my hands forget their earthly skills. Lord, I'd rather forget my temporal work, my physical labors, than forget the work and the cause of the Lord." Oh, that the Lord would help us and give us grace to remember Him and seek Him first and remember His cause and His death. May we be like David, who would rather forget his earthly treat than fail to remember the work and the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a great sin in this account. There was a great command, but let me come in closing to say there was a great blessing. I want you briefly to consider in closing this morning the great blessing that it was when the butler remembered Joseph. Had he not remembered Joseph, there would have been no warning about the 7 years of famine, the 7 years of plenty. There would have been no preparation for the famine that was about to come upon the land. You see, it was by remembering Joseph that Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream. The 7 fat kine and the 7 thin or skinny kine. And the interpretation was there would be 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. Preparation was needed. Had the butler not remembered Joseph, many more inhabitants in Egypt would have died. The children of Israel would have perished in that famine for want and lack of corn. And yet, whenever Joseph was remembered, preparation was made. The storehouses of blessing was opened during the famine. And there was bread enough to spare. I put it to you in closing this morning, when you remember the Lord in His death, when we gather around this table, the storehouse of spiritual blessing is open to refresh our souls. Let me quote to you the word of our confession in closing. Worthy receivers, those that remember the Lord's death at the table and receive the elements. Worthy receivers, outwardly partaking the visible elements of the sacrament, do also inwardly by faith, not carnally or corporally, but spiritually receive and feed upon Christ crucified and all the benefits of His death. Brethren and sisters, the storehouse is open. The table of the Lord has especially been appointed by the Savior to be a means of blessing, a means of spiritual edification, building your soul up in the things of God. And it's open to you today when you come and receive the benefits. The Lord Jesus, on the night in which He was betrayed, He took bread and He said, "Remember me." He took the cup and He said, "Remember me." How will you respond as a Christian to
to the Lord's great command. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. For Jesus' sake.